When I was living in Wichita, Kansas, I had a good friend whose name was Barb. Barb and her husband had three children. Their oldest, Jack, was severely autistic and nonverbal, but he laughed all the time. Their middle child, Chrissy, was very responsible. She always helped to take care of Jack. And their youngest child, her name was Sarah. Now, growing up, Sarah knew that her family loved her dearly. They would hold her and laugh with her and tickle her. But as she grew up, she began to notice things. Everyone in her family had brown hair, and they were tall and thin, and they had light skin. But Sarah had really thick black hair. Her skin tone was a lot darker, and she was short. Finally, one evening while her mom was reading her a bedtime story, Sarah said, "Mama?" And Barb said, "Yes, dear." "Why is my skin different from you and Jack and Chrissy? And why do I have thick, straight hair? And you have wavy brown hair?" "Sarah, when you were born, your dad and I flew all the way across the earth to find you. We went to a land called China, and there God showed us where you were, and I became your mom." "Oh," Sarah said. As Sarah grew, Barb would come and talk to me. "Sarah wants to know more about her heritage." I always encouraged Barb. Let her learn. Let her know everything. Barb said to Sarah when she was around 10, "I'm going to take you back to China. We'll go together and we can learn all about the place where you were born, and the peoples there, and the village where you were born. We'll do it together." When Sarah turned 16, they flew all the way over to China. You know, Sarah was born in that time when the Chinese government was relegating families to one child, so many little girls were discarded in the hopes that the family would have a son. The government wouldn't let Barb or her husband know who Sarah's parents were, but they knew where she had been born, and so they went to visit the village. But before they left, Barb sat Sarah down and said, "Sarah, I'm so proud of you for wanting to know your heritage and your lineage, the culture in which you were born. But I want you to know one thing for sure, one thing that will never, ever change. There is a bond that is much deeper than blood or muscle or tissue. There is a bond that is eternal. And that bond is love. When I took you in my arms, I became your mother. And I will love you forever. And nothing that you find in this country that we're going to visit or in any other part of your life will ever change that. Nothing." You and I, as followers of Jesus, we stand with our feet in two worlds. You and I have a genetic heritage just like Sarah did. We have a lineage that we can figure out. Now we can even discover all of our DNA and genome. And it's a miracle how so many people had to love each other or come together in order for us to be born. But you have another heritage that is even more important. And this heritage the church calls the communion of saints. Saint Paul writes in his letter to the church in Ephesus, and he says, I want you to understand the glorious inheritance which is yours in the saints. You have been wrapped into a community that exists in this time and beyond time. You are part of what we call the mystical body of Christ, which reaches all the way back to the time of Jesus and way into the future beyond our comprehension. The communion of saints is not to be confused with the canon of saints. Saints can be selected by the Pope, you know. We have lots of saints throughout the history of the church, incredible holy people. And they are also part of your heritage. You can learn about them. You can imbibe their qualities. But in addition to those extraordinary holy people, the communion of saints is made up of more of us regular guys. And how do you determine who your personal saints are? Who's part of your communion of saints? It's very easy. I want you to think through your life and think about the people who have loved you in an extraordinary way or who have modeled something to you that you could have never learned out of a book. I want you to think about particularly those people who have now died and gone ahead of you, whose life has shaped your life in such a way that you wouldn't be yourself without them. Now, we all are influenced by our relatives, and some of it is not good, and some of it is good, right? Yeah. There's a twofold part of the journey of this life. We must forgive those who injure us, and forgiveness means letting them go. And we must embrace those who are our saints, those who teach us, those who have shaped us, those who have turned us into the best of who we are. But I want you to understand this, because it is essential to the understanding of the communion of saints, that those who you love who have died, once they pass on into the realms of greater love and greater presence of God, their influence upon you increases. But many of us do not claim our inheritance. We do not understand that those who we love who have died gift us with their best qualities. And it is up to you to receive them. You can become as wise as my grandmother was incredibly wise. I can be as wise as she was. She gives me that. There are people that you love who have gone ahead of you, and they are waiting for you to claim their inheritance, their wisdom, their thoughtfulness, their kindness, their artistry, whatever it is that they gave you in this life. It becomes tenfold when they die. Each of you has been given a piece of paper this morning, because we are going to do an ancient practice that has been done for over 1,000 years in the church on this All Saints Sunday. I want you to get a pen or a pencil, and I want you to take out that white piece of paper and write down legibly, please, the names of the people that you love who have died. The names of the people who must be there for you in heaven in order for it to be heaven. You know, I always have to go to the graduation of Episcopal School of Jacksonville because they were born from this cathedral. And I sit there on the dais and clap for a bazillion years as everyone gets their diploma. And afterwards, my face hurts from smiling for so long. But there's this thing they do at the end of all that that I love the most. After the graduation ceremony is over, the faculty line up facing each other with a gap in between, and they start to cheer. And the graduates walk through the line, and they pass by everyone who has taught them and disciplined them and loved them or annoyed them, and on and on. When you are making your way into the next life, you too will pass through your communion of saints, and they will be cheering for you and hollering for you and saying, "You did it! You made it! You got through the race, this incredibly beautiful and difficult life. Welcome! Welcome home!" You know, Sarah, as she grew up, she learned to have one foot in this country and one foot in China. She double majored in Chinese and American studies. And she became this extraordinary person because she claimed both inheritances. You are so gifted and so wise and so full of this inheritance that has been given to you, but many of us don't claim it. So as you come up to receive communion, we will read the names of the people that you love who have died, and Tim Tuller will play a bell. A bell is a symbol of the pure sound of heaven, because we believe that at this mystical communion, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. They are present with us now. They form the very fabric of who you are. Claim your inheritance in the body of Christ. Amen.